Let us now read from the Word of God. We read from Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. For the past 9 weeks, we have, in a sense, been sitting at the foot of Mount Sinai. We have been listening to the voice of God. We've been listening to the 10 words that he spoke from Sinai. Those 10 statements that he gave to his people. 10 things that he wants us to remember and to act on. Today we come to the last of those statements. Exodus 20, verse 17. How does God end these 10 words? What note does he finish on? What does he want to leave in our minds as we go away? Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. You shall not covet. The Hebrew word for covet simply means desire. And like the English word desire, it can be used in either a good sense or a bad sense. It can mean to desire something good, or it can mean to desire something bad and wrong. So here we're told, you shall not desire your neighbor's house. You shall not desire your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Jesus taught us that when the Bible speaks about our neighbours, it's not talking merely about those people who happen to live near to us. It's talking about everyone. So this statement tells us, you shall not want something that is someone else's. If you want something that is someone else's, that means that you're not content with what God has given to you. Are you content with what God has given you? Let's think about whether or not you're content in the areas that are mentioned in this verse. It mentions your neighbor's house. You're not to covet, you're not to desire your neighbor's house. Are you content with your house? I'm not asking if your house is suitable for your needs. If it's not suitable, that's a different matter. But if it is adequate, if you don't need anything bigger, Are you content with it? The next thing the verse mentions is your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. So are you content with your own wife? Or do you find yourself wishfully glancing at other women who you think are more beautiful or more gifted or nicer in some other way? Women, are you content with your husband? Or do you find yourself thinking about other men who seem to be more interested in you or to compliment you more or to be more considerate to you? The verse goes on to talk about his male servant or his female servant. But most of you probably don't have servants. But maybe today's direct equivalent would be those who work for you. If you have people who work under you, are you content with those people who work under you? Or if your situation is slightly different, are you content with the people who work with you? Or are you content with the people who are over you at your work? Of course they're not perfect. But are you able to rest in the assurance that these are the people whom God has decided are to work with you now, and that God knows what he's doing, that he hasn't made any mistakes, that this is his purpose for you now? The verse goes on to speak about his ox. The ox was used in Bible times to pull ploughs, to do other work on the farm. Are you content with the equipment you work with? It could be machinery, it could be tools. It could be your office. It could be your computer. It could be your software. Are you content with what you have in those things? Or do you find yourselves looking at others, wishing that you had what they have, coveting what they have? And then it mentions his donkey. Donkeys were used for transport. Are you content with your car? Or with the fact that you don't have a car? Or do you find yourself looking at other people's cars? Or looking at cars in magazines or on the TV or the internet, wishing that you had a car like that? And the verse ends, or anything that is your neighbor's. His TV? His smartphone? Her kitchen? Her top? Her dress? Are you content with what God has given you? Or do you wish you had something someone else has? Or something that everyone else seems to have? Now that doesn't mean that you can never get a new car, or that you can never upgrade your computer, or that you can never change jobs. But you are to be content in the situation that God has placed you in now. God wants us to be content, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Paul said, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. In this verse, God is going back over some of the areas that he's already dealt with in the 10 words. He says, you shall not desire your neighbor's wife. He's already told us, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said that that means you shall not lust. He says, you shall not desire anything that is your neighbor's. He's already told us, you shall not steal. Now he says, you shall not even think about taking something that isn't yours. God is going back over some of the same areas. But now he's focusing not on the outward actions, but on the inner desires, on the heart. We tend to think of the Old Testament as being about outward regulations, and the New Testament as being about the heart. But this is one of the verses that makes clear that the Old Testament was about the heart as well. It was always about the heart. And that's the note that God wants to finish these 10 words on. The heart. He wants to impress on us that it's really about your heart. If you want to please God, your heart must be right. Even if you could keep all the outward commands perfectly, if your heart is not right, you have failed to keep God's law. You have failed to live as he requires. Over the past 10 weeks, I've come to know you a little bit. I've seen that you are respectable people. It's clear that you live upright lives on the outside. But what are you like on the inside? I can't see that. Are you content? Or are you coveting? What's your heart like? It's possible to clean up the outside of your life fairly well, but the inside is a different matter. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. How do you fix a bad heart. How can it be done? The only way to fix a bad heart, really, is to have it replaced. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, another Old Testament passage that speaks about the heart, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He's talking about what he'll do for those who trust in Christ. If you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, if you accept him as your ruler, he'll totally change you on the inside. He'll do something that you can never do yourself. He'll give you a new heart. A heart that can learn to be content. And contentment is something that needs to be learned. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4. So as we finish, as God finishes these 10 words, he's telling us, watch your heart. That's really where it all happens. If you want to be pure, if you want to please God, if you want to keep his laws, you must focus on your heart. You must ask God to give you a new heart if he hasn't yet done that. And if he has, you must keep asking him to change your heart and to keep changing your heart, to make it more and more like him. And as well as asking God to do that, we must use the means that he has given us to achieve it. We must discipline ourselves to obey God's word. Not just in our outward actions, but in our thoughts, in our feelings, in everything that we do in our very innermost being. Lamentations 3, verse 40. Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we acknowledge that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Father, as you look at us now at this moment, you can see every thought and every attitude. You can see into the deepest, darkest parts of our being. And Father, you are concerned about what happens there. Lord, we pray that you would change our hearts. That you would continually be changing our hearts. Making us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Making us more content with what you have given us and with the situations you have placed us in. In Jesus' name, Amen.